Good morning, Utah. Good morning, Utah. Good morning, people of the planet Earth. It is Tuesday, July the 6th, 2021. Almost 10:40 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. But if you're listening on shortwave radio, this could be 5950 kilohertz out of WRMI Miami Okeechobee. From the Everglades, there is a swamp beast that shall arise. All the cocaine will be his. From the Everglades, a great beast, a great OG, an old-time gangster will arise with his hoopty, and all the power will be its. From the swampy zones of the Everglades, now filled with Burmese python and iguanas and monkeys with herpes. From the Everglades, from which the lamprey rats will also arise and give birth to the future. From that place in the Everglades, they broadcast shortwave radio, warning you of the coming Boblimp Doc. The coming Boblimp Doc. If you're listening on shortwave radio, the notes for this podcast broadcast can be found at dfgtc.org/shownotes. That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie .org/shownotes. And if you pick the right date of the right broadcast from WRMI, you'll get the right set of notes and you'll be able to decipher the weavering and the wavering and the whimsical wandering of this old Irish hobo through a sideways planetoid realm where the strongest freaks rule, the wise men hide in caves, and the slaves eat their slurry as they watch their Brimbus cubes. Slaves. That's right, it's the planetary status report. And whereas this is a not live broadcast, this is a recorded podcast, it's currently Tuesday morning. But if you're listening on the radio, it could be Saturday or Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you could be hearing the crackly voice and the crackly keys and the weird sonic vibrations that result from an ionosphere that's been warped by radar beam. I'm just kidding. That never happens. First topic. First topic. I lost. I I lost 95 cats on Noom. Ever since I started the Noom cognitive-based therapy training program for losing weight, ever since I started Noom, I lost 95 cats. I had a whole bunch of cats before I started Noom. And then I started going through my processes and my triggers and looking at my relapses and talking to my comfort team and having a plan. You gotta have a plan when you're following, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy like Noom. You gotta have a plan. So I put together a plan. I put together a plan regarding my 95 cats, which I lost on Noom. And when I say 95 cats, it wasn't all at once. It wasn't really like that. I had a cat, and then I lost it. I lost it to a taco. I had another cat named Puffy. I lost her to a French pastry. All on Noom. I had another cat named Scratches. We had a barbecue. Goodbye, Scratches. I can still hear you scream. I can still hear you scream, Scratches. I lost 95 cats on Noom. I lost 95 cats on Noom. One was named Gingerbread, a little red-haired cat. Little beautiful red-haired cat, a beautiful little tabby. I lost gingerbread. I lost Gingerbread to Gingerbread. Yeah, I lost 95 cats on Noom. I've discussed Noom enough. I know there are people out there. Why do you beat up on Noom? Because these commercials, all of them, and it's not just Noom. It's not just Noom. And again, if you disconnect from everything, if you disconnect from the news and the TV and the YouTube and the Hulu, if you disconnect from it all, you don't have to see all this really dumb, rinky-dink, Soviet-style chicanery. But If you plugged into any of it, you're gonna see it, and it's kind of ridiculous, I gotta say. All these diet plans, all these exercise plans. Here's the deal: everybody should exercise more than zero. In fact, you should probably exercise a lot more than zero. What that number is probably a number you'll figure out if you ever try to exercise. You shouldn't eat poisonous food. You just shouldn't. People shouldn't eat poisonous food. If you want to go on an adventure and try some strange food, fine. But whatever you put in your body is your choice. Don't blame other people because you went to Thailand in the 1970s, got a parasite, inadvertently ended up with a different disorder, and now you want to blame sugar. Screw you, buddy. You got a parasite because you ate a bat. Hello, Noom. There's no secret. Some people are a little luckier than others when it comes to parentage. We wouldn't breed horses. We wouldn't breed dogs. if that weren't true. We wouldn't breed cows if all cows could be the same. They're not, okay? Some people will always end up looking nicer and healthier than others. Some people will probably have better bone structure than others. Some people will be more beautiful than others. Some will be smarter than others. That's life. That's reality. It isn't a con. It's simply reality. You know, eat food that is not poisonous. Get some exercise. Be aware of your surroundings. Just because somebody that calls themselves an expert tells you to eat something does not mean you should. Okay, there are decisions you should make about what goes in your body. I know with all the vaccine hysteria, people are getting really confused, but here's the deal. If you think or believe you live in a free society, then what you put in your body and how you treat your body, as long as you don't harm anyone else, is your own business, period. And as far as viruses and bacteria go, just like coyotes and tigers and bears and great white sharks, they have been around forever. We're not going to ban swimming because some people get eaten by sharks. So why in the heck did we ban life? Because of a virus that even the people that believe it's real mostly agree it mostly doesn't kill you. Well, that's a really terrible reason to shut down the world and to drive people to madness and kill people, you know? I lost 95 cats on Noom. Next topic. A young person comes up to you and says to you, "Sir, when will I know who I am?" A young man, a young woman, I don't know that we should think about genders, right? Pronouns, those are ridiculous. We're supposed to pretend that we're all just amoeba. But some amoeba, some unformed mass without gender comes up to you like a chunk of clay and stares at you. Some 50-year-old grumbo freak who drinks more beer than water, who consumes the poisons of the land, who looks into the future and sees caves and cannibals and weird tiger freaks and bats with seven eyes. And this young person looks at you and says, "When will I know who I am?" I'm going to not spend a ton of time on this topic, but one of the great lies of modernity is this whole thing about how you're going to figure yourself out. You're going to figure yourself out. You're going to figure out who you are. You might. You might. I've met very few people who have enough pieces of the puzzle to, quote unquote, figure themselves out in adulthood. I've met tons of fakers. I've met tons of people who join cargo cults. I've met tons of people who flip houses and actually believe that we could build an entire society of people who just flip houses to each other. I've met a lot of strange people, but if you ask me, have I met very many adults who have figured themselves out? The answer is no. Now, what does that really mean? Does that mean you look at a young kid and say, screw off? No. You should be compassionate if you can. If you have wisdom, you should always share it. But the real answer is that you might never completely have yourself figured out. and nobody really knows when they will die. So if it's going to take you 20 years to figure yourself out and you die in 10, the math says you won't. The math says it doesn't happen. I'm not saying you shouldn't go on a voyage of self-discovery, and if anybody thinks I'm opposed to self-improvement, they're confused. But what you do with this limited life and the scenario you find yourself in is your business. Period. Whether it's vaccines or anything else, I don't care what it is, whatever peer pressure you're getting from other people, your life is yours. It may become illegal at some point to say that. I know, you say, Dan, that's crazy. How could it become against the law to state that you own your body and you own your life? Well, we're living in weird times, brothers and sisters. And at some point, it may become illegal to state a simple fact that you as a living being own your life, you own your body, and if somebody's peer pressuring you to take the vaccine, tell them to go to you-know-where. H-E double toothpicks. I'm trying to swear less because, hey, shortwave radio. If someone is peer pressuring you to take a vaccine, I don't care if it's vaccine A or B or C or Z, and I don't care if it's for variant Alpha or Bravo or Delta or Charlie or Echo or Hotel or Lima or Z or Zebra Z. If people are peer pressuring you to take some medical procedure where there is not legitimate evidence or history to show its efficacious use, you have every right to tell them to go to hell. You own your body. You own your life. When are you going to figure it all out? Well, I'll tell you what. Step one to figuring out your life is taking ownership of it. Okay? Taking ownership of the fact that no one else is going to get the cancer. If you die of cancer, it's you. No one else is going to have the heart attack. If you get a heart attack, it's you. No one else is going to give you the diabetes. If you eat a lot of poison and get diabetes, that's on you. They might feel sorry for you. They might tell jokes at your funeral. But guess what? Your life is yours. Your death is yours. That's reality. As far as figuring yourself out, why don't you settle for finding some joy in this life? Why not try to find peace? Why not seek after both understanding of yourself, but also, probably as important, understanding of the world? Don't settle for cheap excuses. Don't buy into some cargo cult because somebody told you this is the way. You want to figure yourself out, you got to use your brain. And if you want to use your brain, you have to train it. On Noom. And then you can lose 95 cats too. I was hungry while on my diet. And Puffy looked good in a pastry. Next topic. But I'll drink a little coffee or cafe au lait if that's okay with you. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, the World Wide Web, so you can believe more nonsense than at any other point in history. The World Wide Web. The World Wide Web, so you can believe more nonsense than anyone else did at any other point in history. Just trying to keep it real. Dr. Freckles, right? He's pretty serious. He's a clown. Clowns scare people. You know what also scares people? The truth. The truth scares people. The truth scares people. Truth scares people. The truth scares people. When I was in my 20s, I was in school, but I wasn't studying technology back then. I was studying humanities. I was following a different path. I was in the military, on my way to becoming an officer, and I didn't really have anything figured out, and it seemed like joining the Army, as dumb as that'll sound to a lot of my friend, well, I don't know. The people out there who know me and know I'm an anarchist probably listen to this and cringe. But I believed a lot of nonsense in my 20s. One of the things I rejected almost immediately was this general euphoria for the World Wide Web. I wasn't opposed to it. I wasn't like Paul Krugman saying, well, you know, it's like the fax machine. That wasn't even remotely my point at the time, although many people didn't really get my point. My point was, it was technology, and as such, it is neutral, okay? It can be used for good, or it can be used for evil. There's no such thing as an inherently good or bad technology. That's crazy. That's what liberals who hate guns do. They take inanimate objects, objects that have no animus, no soul, no free will, and they attribute to these inanimate objects called guns special magical powers, which they do not have. And by the way, if you're a crypto anarchist, crypto freak out there, and you define your anarchism in terms of your crypto, you are just as lost as the libtard who blames guns for people killing people. You are confused. You are confused. Back in my 20s, people were like, oh my gosh, the internet's going to make the world a better place, and we're all going to have more freedom, and blah, blah, blah. And you know what I've learned in the last 25 years? That was crap. That was crap, okay? Yeah. Amongst a certain intelligentsia, amongst the nomenclatura, I would say there are people who would say, my life is so awesome with my smart device telling me how to live and how many calories to eat and where to drive. My life is so great. But for a lot of people, it's turned out to be one digital ghetto after another. It's one make-believe place where we're all going to be free, we're all going to be able to speak our minds, we're all going to be able to post our thoughts, and everybody will, you know, share ideas. That was all crap. We were being led as if, and once again, through some sort of Temple Grandin maze. And if you don't know who Temple Grandin is or what is, she's one of these folks who reinvented the way that cattle are managed on the way to the slaughterhouse in such a way that the cattle are less stressed out on their way to die. They're calm on their way to die. They're calm on their way to die. They're very calm on their way to die. The World Wide Web did not become the tool of freedom. It became a tool of oppression. Could we have a shared network, a system that would work in a free way? I think we could, but not one that was built by the Department of Defense, not one that essentially DARPA manages, not one where there are kill switches. If they have a kill switch where they can shut down your means of communication, newsflash, that's not free communication. It's not. Okay? Free communication does not involve kill switches. Free communication does not involve gaslighting people. Free communication does not involve blocking emails and rerouting emails so people never get them. That's not free. That society is not free. Being rounded into YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and TikTok and all of these digital ghettos simply to be told that all you can post are cat pictures and funny pictures and pictures of you making food, all that's really great. But God forbid you express an idea that goes against anything that we're supposed to be talking about. God forbid you tell people they own their own lives. God forbid you tell people they have dignity, they have freedom. You're not supposed to. Whatever you think the World Wide Web has become, it's not that euphoric crap from the 90s. It really isn't. And if you believe it is, you probably think Kurt Cobain killed himself. Next topic. I have been watching this stupid show when I get bored, and I'm really ashamed. I don't even know why I'm talking about it. You know, it's this really dumb show. I found it online. There's like a dozen episodes, and the name of the show is Doomsday. And that's probably the last show a person like me should be watching right now, because if you listen to my podcast, and by the way, if you're listening on shortwave radio, this is 5950 kilohertz WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee, the Everglades, from the swamps of Florida man will arise. Even if Florida is buried in water because the world becomes Florida world, Florida man will be everywhere at that point. The whole world will become Florida in hothouse earth. Florida man world. Florida man will survive. The funny thing is that this show had all these experts, but they gave all these cartoonish explanations. And they described scenarios which maybe they could happen, maybe they couldn't. For example, one of the ways the world is destroyed, a rogue black hole. A rogue black hole. A rogue black hole enters the solar system. And this black hole, which is this incredible source of gravitational energy. If you don't know what a black hole is, a black hole results when a collapsed star closes in upon itself with such density, it creates a perpetually growing mass of gravitational pull. That's a black hole. You know, it's essentially an ever-growing mass of incredible gravitational pull, so strong that light can't even escape. And that's why they call it a black hole. It's not meant to be racist. Yeah, one of the scenarios they described was a black hole coming along. You know, a black hole coming along. And eventually, within a few hours, sucking up the Earth. Another one was something called a hypervolcano. A hypercano. That one I didn't really like. I thought that was stupid. Then they went through the aliens. The aliens were giving us space crabs. Yes, the aliens arrive in the year of Boblimpdoc. They spray the Earth with cosmic crabs. They ruin Labor Day. Of course, there's rogue planets and asteroids, and then there's the old, you know, what if the Gulf Stream shut down? What if the circular Halley current of the Earth, the flow of the river of water in the great oceans, exchanging temperatures between the cold places and the warm places? What if the Gulf Stream shut down? And that was terrible. But it's funny, there's a whole bunch of stuff they didn't talk about. In fact, what's really interesting, that even the Gulf Stream example was given in the context of climate change, which is perfectly ambiguous because nobody really knows what climate change is. You tell people global warming, they can connect with that. Even if it's BS, they can understand it. But so far, climate change doesn't make any sense at all. For example, one thing they don't talk about, even though it looks like methane is popping up everywhere, maybe even in the Gulf of Mexico, hint, hint. Yeah, but one thing they don't talk about is the clathrate gun. And the clathrate gun, if it's real, if it's a real threat, if it's a thing that can actually happen, and if you read the top articles on Google, they'll say unlikely, but unlikely is not the same thing as never. Okay, it's not. Just an FYI. That's a scientist's way of covering their butts. They'll call something unlikely, and then they'll be shocked, shocked, shocked. Like Commander Renault at Rick's. I can't believe there's gambling at Rick's. I can't believe there's gambling at Rick's gambling bar and hookers. Yeah. If you read a scientific paper and a scientist says it cannot happen, that is them taking an affirmative stance that it's impossible. And some scientists will take a moral stand and say they believe something is theoretically impossible. Unlikely is a word that is used by people who really want to cover both sides of the track. But no, in this doomsday show, they don't talk about the clathrate gun. They do talk about nuclear war, but what they don't mention is that for hydrogen bombs to work, for H-bombs to function, you have to replace the tritium about every 15 years. It's possible that there are huge swaths of nuclear weapons in the Russian and the U.S. arsenal, because these are the two largest, the Russian arsenal and the U.S. arsenal, at least from what we're told. It's possible that a lot of these H-bombs are now just good old-fashioned fission bombs. They have the initiator, which is usually a 5 to 15 kiloton fission device, which is like the bomb we dropped in Hiroshima, just much smaller and more efficiently designed. So you have the initiator, and then you have the tritium, which ultimately is the fuel for the fusion reaction, which, you know, that's what creates the hydrogen bomb explosion. That's the part of it that makes it a thermonuclear weapon. Other than that, it's just a fission bomb. Now, about a year and a half ago, the Trump administration announced that we were moving to 5 and 10 kiloton bombs in the U.S. arsenal. And it struck me as interesting because that's almost exactly the explosive power of the initiators on hydrogen bombs. So here's the deal. On the Doomsday Show, all these experts talk about nuclear war, but what they don't talk about is reality. So they describe a nuclear war the way they describe the hypercano and the Gulf Stream shutting down and the black hole showing up from space, and who the heck knows if any of the space crap is real. It's stupid. I shouldn't even be watching this dumb show. But maybe it makes me feel better about the real thing coming. I don't know. If you listen to my podcast, you know that my opinion about the COVID, I call it the monkey herpes. You know my opinion of the COVID and the race war and all the Trump nonsense and all the Biden nonsense is that it's a lot of psychological operations. It's a lot of propaganda. It's a lot of smoke. There's not a lot of reality in any of it. In fact, what I really see right now is a population of people in the United States under siege by fear. Just like I've mentioned that old Twilight Zone episode, I'll mention it again. Because there's a few that deal with the topic of fear. But this is one of my favorites, the giant inflatable alien. Just like the woman in that old episode, she's afraid of nothing. People are under siege in this country by fear, but what they're afraid of is nothing. They're being fed the fear because the people that should actually live in fear are afraid of you. Understand? There are people right now that are deathly afraid of you, of the power you have, the choices you can make. They are telling you you are unfree. They are telling you you are unclean. They are telling you you are dangerous and a racist. They are telling you all these things because they want you to stay confused so you don't go after them. They want us tearing at each other. They want us hating each other over stupid things. Critical race theory is amazingly productive for their psychological warfare operations. It keeps everybody busy. It keeps the libertarians and the Republicans and the Democrats and even the independents. It keeps people talking about stuff that does not matter. Just like crypto, just like Trump and the secret army and the Grand Canyon, it is crap designed to keep you occupied, to keep you busy. I don't know why. I wish I knew why. Did you know that there is a facility in Alaska called HAARP? It's in Gakona, Alaska. And this facility in Alaska, it has an array of antennas. These antennas broadcast energy into the atmosphere, heating it up. These antennas, they heat the ionosphere. If you're a radio guy, you may have noticed. The High Altitude Auroral Research Program, or whatever, HAARP, I don't know if that's the exact name. This system in Gakona, Alaska, has a lot of patents, which means that it was designed supposedly for many purposes. One of the things it can do is warp the shape of the ionosphere and push it up. And by doing so, it can warp the actual shape of the atmosphere. It can actually push the stratosphere up. It can bring cool air in from space. It can do a lot of very bad things and good things according to the patents, right? One of the patents supposedly is for busting methane. Did you know that? Did you know that one of the patents for HAARP is to, you know, basically pump enough energy into the atmosphere so if you get a lot of methane up there, you can break it apart? I don't know if it works or not. I don't know if it's true. But I can tell you the things that they want you to be afraid of right now are probably not the things you should be concerned about. And also, I'm not selling you another replacement fear. Okay? Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. You react to it as best you can. If you want the highest probability of success for you or your community, ding, 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 the best kind of community to have is one that is voluntary, one that is free, one that is respectful. If you live in a tyranny, if you live in a prison camp, the future is going to destroy you. Period. You can be flexible or you can be a slave. Okay, slaves are on chains. That's why they're not very flexible. You need to break your chains. Then you have a chance. That is what I will tell you. I don't know what's coming. I just know they're lying. I don't know for sure what's on the agenda for the future. But I am certain the people that most people, normal quote-unquote people, trust to tell them the truth, they are being lied to. You are being lied to. You are being manipulated. That doesn't mean I know the truth, but I can tell you, you are being manipulated. Especially if you bought into the COVID nonsense. Next topic. Next topic. I'm going to read you an article for this next topic. I haven't done that in a while, have I? This article comes from the New York Daily News. This article was written by Brian Nimitz. This article was published on June the 23rd, 2021, Bo Blimp Doc. Headline. Subway defends its tuna sandwich again. Says DNA test Says DNA testing is not a reliable way to ID process fish. And I think this is funny because I would love it if the subway lawyers could review statements by the inventor of the PCR test, the test that they're using to identify COVID cases, and point out that as terrible as this DNA test used to figure out whether tuna is tuna or not, the PCR test, and the inventor said this, should never be used to identify an infection, ever. Okay? I think, what, Kerry Mullis, the inventor of it? Yeah, he said never. So I would love it if these lawyers suing Subway who would love to defend it, took a stand. But I would love that Subway basically came out and said, probably this PCR, this test doesn't work. You know what, Subway? You, like every other situational ethics scumbag in America today, welcome to the future. I read on. Pop-up ads, close. Answering to questions about the content of its tuna sandwiches once more, Subway went on defense Wednesday, arguing that a story over the weekend claiming lab tests detected no tuna DNA in its sandwiches has turned into a big fish tale. And I quote, a recent New York Times report indicates that DNA testing is an unreliable methodology for identifying processed tuna. The sandwich-making giant said in a statement published by Business Insider Wednesday. This report supports and reflects the position that Subway has taken in relation to its meritless lawsuit filed in California and with respect to DNA testing as a means to identify cooked proteins. DNA testing is simply not a reliable way to identify denatured proteins like Subway's tuna, which was cooked before it was tested. According to the Times, it sent 60 inches of Subway tuna sandwiches to a lab in California where researchers were unable to identify what species of fish was in Subway's tuna offerings. A lab spokesperson told the Times there are two potential conclusions to be considered. One, it's so heavily processed that whatever we could pull out, we couldn't make an identification, that spokesperson said. Or we got some, and there's just nothing there that's tuna. Subway, which did not initially comment on the Times findings, now says that some outlets have mischaracterized the study by claiming that report concluded there was no tuna present. I'm going to stop here because I think you guys can fill in the gaps on the meaning of a story like the Subway one. And I know different people take different sides. Well, Dan, Subway's just processed tuna. There's no DNA. For the last year, we, maybe all of us, because I remember wearing a mask to go to the grocery store in Seattle, and I remember wearing a mask to go to Uncle Ike, so I'm part of it too. I also committed crimes. To get on the bus, I wore a mask. For the last year, because of a test that was never used the way the inventor, Kerry Mullis said you should use it, the PCR test, to identify COVID. For the last year and a half, we have subjected millions upon millions of people to psychological torture over a test where its inventor said, don't ever use it like this. Ever. Ever. Period. The Subway story is funny as a compare and contrast because these lawyers are so certain of their judgments. But where were the people who would stand up for all those folks who eventually would lose their businesses, lose their families, commit suicide, and lose their lives because why? We used a test to test for COVID And the person who invented it said you should never use it that way. Ever. I don't know if there's tuna and tuna fish sandwiches at Subway. I don't even know if there are tuna still alive in the oceans. The oceans could be so poisonous at this point that all we have left are things called ocean chickens. Ocean chickens, they live at the bottom of the sea. They have no skin. They have no soul. Ocean chickens are covered in thorns. They only exude total pain. Ocean chicken. That's all we got left of mutated gumbo freaks at the bottom of the ocean, wandering around, sucking up what little living things are left. Ocean chicken. That's what you get when you get your chicken sandwich or your tuna sandwich or your salmon. You get colorized, reformed, repasteurized, repastelized, plasticized, ejection molded ocean chicken. And you should be happy about it because it's possible in a few months you won't even have that. No ocean chicken. No McRib. No chicken McNugget. From the unidentifiable part. None of the screwbow. No more Campbell's soup. No more Hungry Man. No more Hormel chili. No more ocean chicken. They're gonna go away too. They'll take the long walk off the Marianas Trench. I don't know if there's tuna in Subway's tuna. I don't even know if there's protein in our protein. We get fed all kinds of crap. Could be asbestos. Could be chunks of scrumbo. I once opened up some Dinty Moore chili. I was 12 years old. I found a scrubbing pad. Yeah, when I was 12, I opened up a can of Dinty Moore chili. 1982, there was a scrubbing pad inside, like they'd been scrubbing out the vat. I don't know. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. A great quote from Dr. Freckles. I used to make a lot of money selling cats. Again, a quote from Dr. Freckles. I used to make a lot of money selling cats. To Campbell's Soup Company. Have you ever seen your soup being made? Your canned food? Have you ever met the people who are canning your food? The people? You ever seen the people that make sure the machines work right? You think any of those guys are getting a divorce? the folks working at the Hungry Man line? Do you think any of them are sad or depressed? Do you think there are witches? Witches. Witches or sorcerers or voodoo artists? Could there be voodoo artists and gypsies putting the soup? Could there be? I used to make a lot of money selling cats to the Campbell Soup Company. I used to make cash rounding up the cats from the alleyways, all the cats that the owners never cared about. I had a fancy little truck with a fancy little, you know, covering. Yeah. I had a fancy little truck with a fancy little covering on the back of it and a little door, and I tossed the cats in. I had a truck, and I had one of those campers in the back, and I had it colored like I was cat rescue. I was the cat rescue camper. I played music. I would go around town with my tuna fish as cat rescue, playing my music and finding the cats, you know. I'm sure there are cat lovers out there who don't want to hear this. But when Dr. Freckles was a young clown living between the carnivals, when he had to survive on the streets, he had a truck with a camper. It was painted with cat rescue and little balloons for little kids to believe in hope and happiness and joy. And he'd drive his camper truck around with rusty rust stains on it and all kinds of fucking, you know, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. But all those stickers on there saying he'd been to Yosemite. He'd never been to Yosemite. He'd never been to Yosemite. But he put the little bumper stickers on there to make people feel better. Nobody from Yosemite would steal cats. Nobody from Yosemite, nobody who's been to Six Flags, Dr. Freckles would put Six Flags bumper stickers on his camper. No one who'd been to Six Flags would ever steal cats for Campbell's soup. Putting their Campbell's soup chicken soup. Looks like chicken, they texturize it. They expose it to an acidic process that breaks down layers of bone and flesh. Poor little kitties in the Campbell's soup. I know that's pretty dark. No, no, no. Dr. Freckles never stole cats from the streets to sell the Campbell's soup. This was satire. All the lawyers for Campbell's Soup Company who want to sue me. You can sue me for billions. And if you want to donate to my legal fund, the billions that you can now achieve, you just go to dfgtc.org/shownotes. And if you go to dfgtc.org/shownotes, you have a donation link right there. If you're worried about me being sued by Campbell's Soup, or if they're going to send death squads, you can donate to me, and I'll use that money. I will build weapons to fight off the lawyers for Campbell's Soup. I will free the kittens from their kitty abattoir. I'm kidding, because it's a joke. Everyone knows the tuna in Subway tuna is real. Everybody knows the food you buy at the grocery store is healthy. Everybody knows those weird clouds you see in the sky are normal. Everybody knows this because the internet said so. You know it's true. It's gotta be true. The World Wide Web said so. Must be true. Must be. If you're listening on shortwave radio, this has been the Planetary Status Report, and this is, you know, your good friend Dan, last name Sullivan, and, you know, so if you need to sue me. Once again, the show notes can be found at deltafoxtrotgolftangocharlie.org/shownotes. That's dfgtc.org/shownotes. You pick the right date of the right broadcast, you'll get the right notes. And if you want to donate, you can. You can donate or not, but please take care of your food, your water, your shelter first. Please do that. Then protect your cat from the clown freaks. Buy some rice, some dried beans, then build your moat for the clown freaks. The clown freaks are coming for your kittens. They will make tacos and chili. They will make tacos and chili and sandwiches. They will make ice cream and chili and tacos and lasagna from your cat. And then they'll make a really nice soup because they love you.